Last year, I lived in a community house with six Calvin students. Now, our front yard of our house was not super nice. It was a couple patches of grass and one little tree. In April, as everything was turning green, some plants began to creep above the grass. Now, we asked each other what these were, and no one really knew. No one could figure it out. But week after week, these plants grew taller. And after a few weeks, the tops opened up, and they showed that they were beautiful yellow daffodils. Now, we didn't think that anyone knew where they came from, but apparently one of my roommates was working for the neighborhood association in the fall, and they were planting daffodil bulbs to beautify the neighborhood. He had some leftover bulbs, so he planted them along our sidewalk, about 30 bulbs. But then he forgot. He forgot he even planted them. So when the spring came, we didn't water them, we didn't care for them, we didn't do anything because we didn't even know they were there. But they grew tall and beautiful and bright. I can imagine Jesus saying to us, "Look at the daffodils by your sidewalk. You didn't do anything to them. You didn't water them. You didn't care for them in any way. Yet they grew beautiful. If this is how I care for the daffodils along your sidewalk, won't I care for you as well?" I love how simple Jesus can make ordinary life things sound. In our text, he's talking to a group of people. They may be sitting on the side of a hill, and he just points to some birds in the air. He says, "Look at those birds over there." They probably weren't anything special, maybe as common as sparrows in our backyard. But the people turn and they look. They see some fluttering through the air, and others chirping as they hop from branch to branch. And Jesus says to them, "Look at the birds over there. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable than they?" And then Jesus turns their attention from birds in the air to some flowers growing. "Look at those flowers over there. See how they grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of these. They're just grass that's thrown in the fire. Won't God much more clothe you?" Jesus simply points to a few very common things. The birds don't worry about what they'll eat, and the flowers don't worry about what they'll wear. God takes care of them. God cares for the fluttering sparrows in our trees and the daffodils that grew in my front yard. And if God's caring for those things, won't God care for you? So Jesus tells the people not to worry. Don't worry. I'm sure you noticed that worry seems to be a big thing in our passage. The NRSV gives this passage the title, "Do Not Worry." Jesus mentions the word worry 6 times as he's talking to the crowd. This passage is filled with talk about worry. But I think many translations got the title wrong. You see, "do not worry" is not the point of this passage. Worry is not what Jesus is focused on. Take a look at verse 33, if you have it open. This is the heart of our passage. "Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The focus, the goal that drives Christians in their lives is God's kingdom and righteousness. Not our kingdoms, not our little dominions, but God's kingdom. God's kingdom and righteousness must be primary. They must be our number one passion. In a sense, what Jesus is doing is similar to an organization or a company having a strategic goal-setting meeting. If you don't have a specific goal to shoot for, you'll be aimless or inefficient in what you do. You'll get distracted by secondary things. But once you have a clear goal, all of your decisions, all of your actions can be measured according to that goal. Are they achieving our primary goal? Jesus is trying to help the people see their main goal. Food and clothing are important, but they're not the primary focus. The goal, the passion, the primary focus is God's kingdom. Of course, God knows that we need food and clothing to survive. And God promises to provide. Look at the sparrows. Look at the daffodils. Surely God will provide for you just as much or more than these. Yet we still worry, don't we? Life is full of concerning things. Some of you in the next month may be going to a new school, middle school or high school, or heading off to college. Others here may be looking for a job. You don't have employment. And still others may be worrying about your health or the health of a loved one. There are lots of things to worry about. Life is full of worries. And all of us need to hear Jesus' words. Do not worry. But when Jesus tells us not to worry about food or clothes, we can hear what he says two very different ways. We can hear it as a comfort or a command. For most of the original audience, and for some people here who truly wonder how they're going to buy groceries or a winter coat or pay your rent, these words can be a great comfort. God knows you need food and clothing. God knows you need to bring your child to the doctor and your car needs new tires. Don't worry. God will take care of you. Of course, life still won't be easy. We will have to work hard, but God promises to be with us, to care for us. Don't let these things, these worries distract you from your main focus in life, God's kingdom. Strive to serve God above all else and trust that God will provide. Of course, when you don't have a job and are worried about paying your child's tuition for school, it's easy to be burdened by anxiety. But Jesus is asking us to do a heart check. Where do we place our faith and our trust? Are we trusting in our own efforts, or are we trusting in God to provide? Now, I know that some people here struggle with anxiety disorders. Do not hear me say that if you simply trusted in God, you wouldn't be anxious. That's not what this passage is saying. But for people here who don't have anxiety disorders, we're asked to do a heart check, because worry can be a sign of lack of faith. It can be a sign that we're not trusting in God to provide and that we're focused on our own kingdoms rather than God's. One of my professors at seminary, Professor Mariano Avila, tells a great story about God providing for his family in a difficult time of life. He and his wife came from Mexico to attend Calvin Seminary. They had a small son in diapers at the time and very little money. The scholarship that they had was enough to pay for tuition, but not much else. So Mariano got a job translating Spanish. He worked hard to help translate documents or translate for people. And when that first check came in the mail, he was really excited. They needed it really badly for food, for diapers, for all the necessities of life. But he and his wife Rosie had been reading a passage of scripture lately about the Israelites giving their first fruits to God. When a cow had its first calf, they gave it to the Lord. When the crop was harvested, the first of the harvest was given to God. And Rosie felt convicted that they should give this first check to God. Now, when Mariano tells this story, he says that he was lamenting to God when she said this. Oh my God, this woman you have given me. What is she doing? He really did not want to give the money away. But Rosie convinced him, and they gave the money to the church for God's work, for God's kingdom. And within that very month, they received several anonymous checks in the mail that equaled out to exactly double the amount of the check that he had received for translating. God provided for them in a pretty miraculous way. Now, things don't always work out like they did for Rosie and Mariano, but I'm sure everyone here can think of a time when God provided for you in a tough situation, for the necessities of life. When I think of this church family right here, even in the past few months, I can think of amazing ways that God has provided for people sitting here today, for some people in miraculous ways. God provides. If you struggle to believe Jesus' words, that he cares for the daffodils and the sparrows and for us, just look at Jesus, the incarnate Son of God. God loves us so much that he came to earth. The almighty God of the universe became a lowly human. And then Jesus died. Jesus died because God loves us and cares for us and wants us to live with him. God cares for us more than we can humanly understand. So Jesus tells us not to worry about the secondary things of life, even the things that are necessities like food and clothes. Don't worry or get stressed out, because God sees you. God will provide. God cares about your health and your life, but your primary goal, your focus, is to serve God above all else. But what if you don't worry about having enough food or buying a winter coat? That's probably a lot of people here today. By global standards, most people here are very wealthy. For us, we need to hear this passage as a reorientation, a shift in focus. It should convict us. We should hear Jesus saying, stop worrying about all these extra things that you have. Most of us Americans are consumers, whether we like it or not. We're part of the culture. We worry about food and clothing, but not in regards to scarcity. Food is a form of entertainment, a symbol of status. Fashion dictates who we hang out with or draws attention to ourselves. Scarcity rarely crosses our minds, but getting more and more is often the driving force of our lives. As wealthy people in the United States, we need to stop and wonder if we're serving fashion or food or our retirement accounts more than God's kingdom. These things, in fact, may be our God. I don't think this was the case for Jesus' original audience. But today we need to hear God's words as gracious reminders to focus on the primary things in life, to help us reorient our lives, to seek God's kingdom above our own kingdoms. This isn't easy, especially in our culture. Every day we're told through advertising that more is better, that our value is found in how we look and what we wear. that the goal of life is comfort, luxury, and popularity. The secular world obsesses with style and becomes engrossed in consumerism. But Jesus calls us, his disciples, to be different than the world. Jesus' disciples are to be countercultural. The culture is characterized by an almost possessed seeking after more and more. Yet we are to be characterized as a people that strives for God's kingdom and righteousness. So whether you're worried because you don't have enough food or clothes, or if food and clothes and other things have become your primary concern, your primary worry, your God, the message is the same. Seek God's kingdom above all else. Christ came to restore our relationship with God so we can live with and for him in all things. Living for God frees us from the heavy anxieties of trying to keep up, from that consumer-driven rat race. Living for God frees us from the constant anxiety about money and survival. Our goal is not wealth. Our goal is not even survival. Our goal is to seek God's kingdom above our own, to seek God's righteousness. Now, as we seek God's kingdom, as we strive to live for him, I'm going to lead us in a prayer exercise this morning to help us think about what concerns, what worries are the secondary things that we focus on in life. I want you to take a minute and think about, what do you worry about? What is causing you stress? What is distracting you from the kingdom of God? Now, take one of your hands and open it up so your palms face up. And then imagine these worries that you thought of as things that you can actually grab. What you're going to do is you're going to take these things and you're going to put them on your palm. So, I'm worried because I don't have enough food. I'm worried because I don't have work. I'm consumed with sports or academic success or retirement more than God's kingdom. Place these things on your hand one by one. Now lift your hand in a gesture of giving those things to God. And I'm going to pray. And as I pray, imagine God taking these things, these worries, these stresses, these secondary distractions from your hand. God, we place all things in your hands. And we trust that you will provide. None of these worries are too big for you. Take away the things in our lives that distract us from you. Help us seek your kingdom above all else. Help us to be righteous and live our lives entirely for you through the power of your Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, amen. Now, you can keep your hand open. And if you want, you can open both hands. God promises to provide for us, to care for us. So we're going to sit for a moment and imagine God pouring his love and his grace. God is with us. People of God, and his presence back into our lives. God is present with us. God loves us. He cares for us like sparrows and daffodils. He feeds the sparrows of the air. He clothes the daffodils by my front yard. And God cares deeply for us all. Amen.